Well, it seemed appropriate on this Super Sunday that we would hear a passage out of 1 Corinthians, a passage about what it is to be the church with all the various individuals that we are, how we do that best. And so hear this from 1 Corinthians 12. Paul writes to them and he reminds them, he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activity, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Oh, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Oh, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the members of the body that we think that seem to be weaker and are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffers together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Guys, look, this is the big part of the game here, and we need big yards to win this one. So let's go with the fake 39 toss X reverse pass, okay? Now, here's what I want you guys to do. JJ, now look, you're the wide receiver and the quickest guy on this team, and I need your speed and hands in the game, catching the ball and scoring touchdowns. You're as important to me as a quarterback on this team.
Today is my day.
Come on, Matthew. I don't think you've ever even thrown a pass before, have you? Look, your leg is like a pendulum. You have ice water in your veins. You've kicked many game winners for us before, so I need you to stay focused because we may need you to get this one over the top for us.
Coach, what about me? If I'm quarterback, I'll never get sacked.
George, look at yourself. Your shoulders are as wide as a Mack truck. You're as strong as an ox. I need you in the trenches, getting down there, spitting and snarling, and saving the quarterback from being sacked. You're more important to me than any quarterback could be on this team.
Look, coach, I know I've never played a game of football, but come on. I've ironed all the players' jerseys. I've also hydrated them.
Look, Gunner, you know I love you, kid. And by the way, these footballs here, They look pretty uninflated. But, but, you know, no one pays attention to that anyways. So listen, kid, just keep the iron warm, keep the kids hydrated, the players hydrated, and pump up those footballs, okay? Now bring it in, guys. Bring it in here. Look, guys, I need one of you to be the person that God made you to be. We're an amazing team, and it's because of each of you is unique, and each of you bring many talents to the game. JJ, your speed. Matthew, your legs. George, all that power. And Gunner, that attention to detail. Look, we're a team. Each one of us playing his position and working together, doing his part, doing what you do best. We don't need a team full of quarterbacks. Imagine what our team would look like if all we drafted were quarterbacks. Offense, defense, special teams, the coaches, the trainers, all the way down to the ticket booth. Everyone doing their part to make the team thrive. Listen, heck, did you watch those Denver Broncos last year? They barely even had a quarterback. What, with Peyton Manning hobbling around out there, ready to retire? And they still managed to win the Super Bowl. They won because they played like a team, everybody doing their part to the best of his abilities. Now listen, team, we are a team, so let's do this together. Let's go out there and give it your best. Let's bring on three, guys, WPC. One, two, three, WPC.
Woo!
Awesome, you guys. Thank you. And you all need to know that that idea, and you know, came together yesterday. And thank you. That was great. Appreciate you guys giving us a little different perspective on things. My name's Eric. I'm one of the assistant coaches around here. And you know, ever since Jesus decided to coach from the skybox, he put some of us down here, be assistant coaches. We're here to try and figure out, how do we play this game? How do we do this best as a team? Now, I know it's Super Bowl Sunday. There's a lot of hype around that game. And I know if the Bears were in it, there'd be even more hype. I understand that. Being in Denver last year, during the run-up, it was amazing. All the hype going on leading to the Super Bowl. But ultimately, it's just a game. Two teams. A lot of overdone advertisements, too much food. In the end, a few people get a trophy and a ring, and the rest go home, and it's over. But it does seem, on a day like today, that the idea of a football team is a helpful analogy, a helpful metaphor, if you will. I think, perhaps, that's sort of what Paul's getting after in 1 Corinthians 12. If there was football in those days, maybe he would have used the football team as a metaphor. But instead, he used the metaphor of the body. We, the church, are the body of Christ, he says. Every one of us a different member, a different part of the body together. And every part valuable. And the question is, do we understand our value? And do we share that part that we are with the rest of the body? The church needs it. We need it. This is God's plan. Plan A. There's no plan B. It's just us. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Talk about how do we step in and use those gifts? Because the coach is calling. Yep, the coach is calling. He sent the plays in, and he wants us to step into the game. But sometimes there's some barriers. There's some barriers for folks who, like in Paul's day, things like the comparison game, they look and they say, but the quarterback, I mean, the quarterback gets all the recognition. The quarterback gets all the money and the contracts, the commercials and the shoe deals. The quarterback. I'm not the quarterback. You couldn't use me. And of course, that was the struggle of our players here this morning. Even though each one of them gifted, trained, ready to do what they were best designed to do, it somehow gotten into their heads that, well, if only they could just be that person and not themselves. And sometimes that's the struggle in the church, I think. People look at certain gifts. It's the struggle that Paul lifts up. There were certain gifts that people had, and they said, well, I don't have that gift. I'm just not that valuable. And Paul's trying to hold them up, say, no, wait a minute. Yeah, there are some that are more noticeable. Some like the speaking of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. These are big. These are out there. But no, there are all these other parts of the body that are necessary and useful, even though we don't see them. But we need all of them, all of these gifts, to function best. But sometimes we sit it out. I don't have the right gifts. They couldn't use me. I'm not the quarterback. Well, thank goodness. I mean, imagine that football team. Imagine a team in the NFL that's all they drafted was football, was quarterbacks. And they said, every year, every draft, we're just going to get more quarterbacks because they're the most important part of the team, right? How would that team do? Not so well. Not so well. Matt Ryan, one of the quarterbacks on display today, if everyone else playing the front line was a quarterback, I don't think he'd get a pass off, right? If everyone else going out as a receiver was actually a quarterback, I don't think there'd be any catches made. It just doesn't work. The football team, it works best when everybody does their part. Each uniquely trained, practiced, gifted. It's the same for the church. We don't thrive, we don't succeed as a people of God unless each of us acknowledges who are we, what are the gifts we've been given, how do we use them best? And then we say, I'm gonna use them for God. Now, what are some of the gifts? Well, here in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul lists some. He lists things like wisdom and knowledge, faith, healing, discernment, the speaking in tongues and the interpreting in tongues. He lists things like that. But there are other passages in Ephesians and Romans, elsewhere, where we hear about lots of other types of gifts. Gifts of shepherding, teaching, hospitality, mercy, encouragement, gifts of giving. There's all sorts of gifts, and what we understand is, you know what? This isn't the whole list. This is Paul raising up some of the possibilities, but don't sell yourself short. Maybe you don't hear your gift in there. That's okay. It's not the whole lineup, if you will. There are still plenty of other positions there that might fit you. So what are your gifts? What are your talents? What are your passions? When you're in your sweet spot, when you just know, this is what I was made for. What is that? The coach needs you. The coach is calling you in. I heard a story not too long ago about Derek Brodus. Derek was a freshman at the University of Tennessee. And let's see, yep, there's Derek. Now, Derek had played soccer and football in high school. And Derek went out for the team at the University of Tennessee as a kicker for the football team. He didn't make the team. He might make it later on, but he's a freshman. They have some other kickers. He's not formally on the roster. So it's game day. University of Tennessee, Vols, the Volunteers, they're getting ready to play a big game. And earlier that week, their starting kicker, a sophomore, well, he'd come up lame after practice, pulled a muscle somewhere, so they weren't quite sure would he be ready for the game on Saturday. But okay, we have a backup kicker. We had a senior, played many seasons, he was ready. During warm-ups in the game, pulls a muscle, comes up lame. Uh-oh, that's it. That's all the kickers they have on the roster. Derek is at a fraternity house with some of his fraternity brothers. They've been watching football. They've been relaxing. In fact, he's napping on the couch. The coach remembers that Derek tried out. And so he says, we got to put out an APB for that Brodus kid. Seriously. He starts trying to find his number. He calls. Derek's phone rings. He looks at the number. I don't know who that is. Puts it down. After like the fifth call, the same number ringing, he figures, maybe I should answer this. And he does, and he's still sort of waking up out of this mid-afternoon football stupor, if you will. And he can't believe it's the head coach. And he said, you got to get down here to the stadium right now. It's an hour till game time. But we need you. The coach is, I'm calling, we need you. Derek, there's a police car coming to pick you up. Let's go. Are you ready? And in fact, small town, coaching a big football program. He's got a lot of power and weight, I guess, because indeed, local police had said, sure, we'll go pick him up. Boom. Woo-hoo. Lights blaring, sirens. Get to the fraternity house. They pick him up. Boom. Speed to the stadium. Literally, it is 1 hour before game time. He hasn't practiced lately. He's not stretched and warm. But they rush him into the locker room. The trainers are stretching him out. Other equipment managers are trying to find some uniform that'll fit him, get some pads on him. I mean, everybody is doing their part. Get him ready. Oh, okay. They get him out. He gets out. He gets a little bit of warm-up. His warm-ups look good. All right, game time. They get to play. Go through the game. He makes a few extra points, a few 20, 25-yard field goals. Tennessee wins 24-0. Woo! Wow. But imagine if he hadn't answered the call. He could have said, I don't know what it is. I'm happy on the couch. I'll stay here. I'm enjoying my nap. But he answered the call. He answered the call and he went and he got to use his gifts for the purpose they've been given him. He got to use his ability as a kicker to the glory of the University of Tennessee. Well, I wonder for us, the coach is calling. Will you answer the call? Some of you have. Some of you serve in so many different ways. You're using your gifts and your talents and your abilities. And as a church, we thrive because of it. But for others, you're still on the couch sort of wondering, like, I don't know if I want to get in the game. I'm not sure. And I think maybe one of the other barriers, perhaps, is, as you said, you have this sense, like, I'm just not good enough. I'm not faithful enough. I've got a past. I've got a history. You couldn't use me. I don't know. Not me. And I understand that. I get that part. And for every one of us, if we're honest, there's always something in us we say, I'm just not that great. The church couldn't use me. God couldn't be calling me. But have you ever thought about all of the people throughout the scriptures that God calls? How imperfect they are. That was a part of what we got to talk about in our Serve With Me milestone last Sunday. We went through the roster throughout some of the Old Testament and New Testament, and we held up some of the different characters. And you think about it. I mean, Noah was a good carpenter, right? Man, he had that gift. Who else put together this amazing boat? But he wasn't so good at holding his liquor. There's a story afterwards. Go back, look at it, you'll see. He had some trouble with that. Or think about Abraham. Abraham gets called to be a blessing and to be the father of many, and yet he's nearly 100 years old, so this is a little surprising. And more than that, Abraham has some trouble with trust. Yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Yes, Lord, okay, that's what you want me to do. This isn't working out, Lord. I'm going to try it my way. And back and forth he goes, obedient and disobedient, obedient and disobedient. The father Abraham, right? And on it goes, character after character after character. There is no perfect servant in the Bible except for Jesus. And the rest of us are like the rest of the characters. We are imperfect, absolutely. Flawed and frayed, and I think God just smiles and beams when we hear the call from the coach and we say, okay, I don't think I'm very worthy for this, but I'll try. Yes, you're in. Go kick it. We need you. See, I think that's what God's always doing. He's always inviting, always seeking for his creator, his creation, you and I, to use what we've been given for God's purposes. And who knows what that might look like? We haven't even considered all the ways that God has gifted us. This congregation, I know, has such a variety of gifts, talents, and abilities, and we see some of them rise up. But I know there's so much more. And so the question is, how will we say yes? Sometimes it would be interesting to imagine if we had a draft. Say, you know, the NFL gets a draft, big draft day, and wouldn't that be interesting? But we don't have a draft. We don't call up people and say, all right, we're going to sign you for a multi-million-dollar deal. We've got signing bonuses and everything. Just come on board. Nope, we don't have a draft. We don't have a college system. We don't even have tryouts, right? This is all walk-ons. Every one of us is a walk-on. I want to invite you, in the weeks to come, consider, who are you? How has God wired you? What are the ways you can serve and give God glory with who you've been created to be? Now, I know a lot of times in churches, there is this 80-20 thing going on. We've talked about it before, that about 20% of the congregation does 80% of the mission and ministry. So that means there's typically about 80% of a congregation who's not really engaged, not using their gifts, not stepping in where they could. And it's true. It's true, I think, because of those issues we've spoken of, the barriers, the comparisons, and the unworthiness, the sense I just couldn't have something they need. But we do. And the disconnect gets to be when folks who are sitting on the couch are waiting for the phone call. We don't even know what gifts you have so often. We need folks to step forward and say, I want to help. I want to be a part of it. I want to be up with what God's up to. How can you use me? So in the weeks to come, I'd love to have you think through that. Walk down the hallway right over here. Look at the bulletin board, the deacons, the different missions, ministries up there. There's so many different ways that you could serve that are listed up there. Different people to contact and say, I'd like to try and help with that. Or maybe there's not something up there that's calling your name, but you've got this great talent and ability. You want to use it somehow. Give me a call, email, text, whatever. Let's talk it through. Let's figure it out and say, yeah, we want to get you in on the game. Using your gifts and your abilities. This is what God delights in. Are you ready? Are you ready to get off that couch? Ready to take the call? Coach wants to put you in. Are you ready? Gracious God, we are so grateful for the servants over the centuries who have shown themselves faithful and obedient, even in the midst of their imperfections and flawed lives. Lord, you use every one of them to your power, to your kingdom, your glory. Lord, you're calling us, your church today. You're calling us to come together as a team. Lord, help us to recognize our gifts, our talents, and our abilities. Help us to understand how you've made each one of us unique to contribute to the larger body of Christ. Lord, we want to be a part of the team. We want to be in on your game plan. So help us to step into that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.